Well, Bones, I mean, we were talking off mic. I was literally just about to scream Santiago in my apartment, and then I forgot that, like, I'm technically an adult now, and I can't yell with other people around. So I'm gonna, like, whisper yell, like a Santiago, but not very loud because this dude is unbelievable.
That's our boy. I mean, at the end of the day, we are probably one of the more pro Santiago pods out there. And I just want everybody to know that on a day like today, we get to cheer and be happy because he's just the man. I mean, how about an RBI to win the game? Bottom seven, Santiago comes up clutch just about every time.
We're in the process of doing hostile takeovers of all the anti-Santiago pods. But before then, we have another series win to talk about after a 3-2 win for the Jays, who just keep getting by to beat some of the American League's elite teams. That's coming up. So was he was a Blue Jay and a whole lot more. It's Locked On Blue Jays, your Monday episode right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your Monday episode after another series win over Houston. Thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also feel free to chat with us online on Twitter at Locked On Jays, and we will hopefully be coming to your video screens very soon. Before we get to that, we should tell you today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And I have some Bet Online anger ads coming up later in this episode. But before we get to that, the Blue Jays and the Astros, a 3-2 win today. We're recording right after the game on Sunday, and a series win 2-1. So what we've been trying to do with these series recap is we're going to take a major storyline that we want to highlight, and we're going to take a major player we want to highlight as our MVP. And I should highlight the players right now in this pod. He's Matt Bonaparte, and I'm Ben Schulman. And Bones, let's start with the storyline. What stood out to you the most from this 2-1 series win?
Well, here's the thing for me. This offense is going to be the thing that everybody who's not a diehard Blue Jay fan looks at from the outside in pretty much all season long, because it really is so potent. And when it's at its high, it's really at its high. And you have guys like Bo Bichette, George Springer, Vlad Guerrero, and the rest of the cast and crew that are just going to be lighting up scoreboards at your local scoreboard. But here's the thing. This pitching staff, and especially the front two or three guys, should really be in the same kind of conversation as probably one of the best that MLB has to offer. Because, listen, when you are at a point in a series where it's game one and you get battered around, 11 runs put up on you, I mean, the confidence is kind of out the door. So when you have a guy like Berríos who can come in and put up a one-run performance, and then a guy like Gausman who can come the next day and put up 10 strikeouts, that puts a kind of confidence into your pitching staff that is valued around the league so highly because it could put you right back on momentum. So for me, the most important part of the series, I mean, I love the Santiago Espinal hits, the Bo Bichette no-hitter defying home runs, and the leadoff homer from Jorge, but it's got to be the pitching for me.
All right, yeah, Gausman and Berríos go, what is it, 12 and two-thirds innings, three earned runs combined between the two, essentially
15 Ks.
Win two games. Yeah, 15 Ks, 10 of them coming from Big Kev. But to flip it to the other side, my major storyline is going to be the offensive parts that allowed that to happen. We came into this series talking a lot about how the back end was propping up this offense, and whether you liked or didn't like how they performed overall, this was a series for the front end guys. You go to the game that they lost, the 11-7 series opener. Seven runs scored, three of them come from a Vladdy Dinger, a much-needed Vladdy Dinger, and then Matt Chapman flirts with the fifth deck at the Rogers Center to score two more of them. Five of seven runs there. Game two, they only scored two runs, but like you said, the George Springer leadoff home run, he comes back up in the third and like pokes a homer that only he and like Fernando Tatis and a couple other people have hit one similar to that over the last couple seasons. Now, his wasn't full Tatis where it was like inches out of the zone, but George reached out to the low and away corner and pulled a homer to left center field.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So he had He had both in that game. And then you come to this game, and you mentioned it. The Bo Bichette no-hitter defying homer. Two of the three runs to set up Santiago to put him in a position where he could eventually get this team in front. So it still wasn't great offense, but at least the guys who were supposed to be the guys did it. Two homers from George, one from Vladdy, one from Bo, and one from Chapman in the series. And overall, I'm really happy, I think, with how the power is starting to come back into these big bats.
Yeah, I mean, it is crucially important for those bats to be there. And it's crazy how you forget how valuable they are when they come back. Because, you know, the saying is you don't realize what you had till it's gone. But a lot of the times in terms of these bats, it's you kind of forget how great they are until they show up. Having a guy like George Springer who can hit a home run at any kind of situation. I mean, what is it? He's sixth all time in leadoff home runs with 46. I mean, that's bonkers. And then to have a guy just a couple spots later who's ripping the cover off the ball in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, who's going to hit a home run 5 inches out of the strike zone. It's pretty incredible to have these kinds of guys when you need them. But yeah, the power numbers are there. But I also want to take a look at the bullpen here, because the bullpen was really pretty sensational. I mean, when you have close games like that, you can only succeed if your bullpen is just as good as your starter. And in that first game, or I guess the second game, where Berríos dominated, Simber, Meza, and Romano were lights out down the stretch. So, I mean, we gave our preferences, our what is it, reliability.
Storylines?
Yeah, well, reliability towards the bullpen a couple days
ago. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Meza was a guy that we both talked about, and he proved it. He played in both games back-to-back, and he was lights out in both. Same with Romano. So, it looks like we picked right there. But, you know, this bullpen's really, really solid, and it should be in the conversation of best in the MLB, I think, or at least one of.
So are you naming bullpen your MVP?
I'm naming, yes, bullpen's going to be my MVP here.
Okay, yeah, I mean, they were great. It's no, you know, it's no secret that they're probably overusing these guys, but they're still pitching well right now. Jordan Romano picked up his 11th save in the series finale, and we are 23 games into the season. They've only won 15. He saved 11 of them. So, yeah, there's no way I can totally argue with you there. That's why I'm going to flip over to the offensive side of the ball for my MVP. He did come up with two crucial home runs in game two. It's Jorge, it's George Springer. But then you got to remember, in this ninth inning of the series finale, there's a ball hit that if he doesn't make a diving catch on, Kyle Tucker scores from second, and we're likely going to extras or worse. So his outfield defense has been like shockingly, I always thought he was a good defender, but it's been shockingly good so far. He's been flying all over the field. He doesn't look like a dude who's getting into his 30s. He's been awesome. I agree, like on the pitching side, you know, Jordan Romano and those guys. For me, on the offensive side, with a little fielding sprinkled in, Jorge's my MVP.
I respect that. I mean, how could you not love Jorge?
No, he's doing a great job of setting the table and helping the Jays to another series win. That was our series recap of Houston, Toronto at home. And the good news, you don't have to play those Astros again. Season series one at 4-2 for the Jays. We're going to take a quick step aside, but when we come back, it's time for He Was a Blue Jay on Locked On Blue Jays. Matt Bonaparte puts his perfect record to the test. Hockey fans, it's playoff time, and because of that, you're probably going to want to head to betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info, especially if you're a Leafs fan, because we all know this is about to be the sad time where we realize the Leafs are going to lose in the first round again. They're taking on the two-time Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Three-time if you're counting overall. And look, I'm not going to tell you to bet against the Leafs. I like them too much. But I'm not going to tell you to bet for the Leafs because I'm not stupid. So what I think you should do, take a look at that over-under. 6.5 goals for game one. This team loves to score, and they love to give up lots of goals in the playoffs. If you want to check that out, or basketball playoffs, or the MLB season, you can go to BetOnline, your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Bet online, where the game starts. Bum 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 bum. It's time. Bum 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 bum. for he was a Blue Jay? Bum, 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 bum. With your host, Ben Schulman. Hello, hello. Thanks so much for joining us today on He Was a Blue Jay. I'm with my incredible contestant, as always, Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman, and we are getting ready to put Bones' 5-0 record to the test. Before we do that, we're going to slightly interrupt this game show to thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, talking to fans or taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And don't blame me for the stutters. I'm just a game show host. All right, it's time for He Was a Blue Jay, where you are undefeated, Mr. Eats the Puffs, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm that guy. Don't worry about it. I'm that guy.
You are that guy right now. And I'm honestly, like, with every moment, really trying to make it harder. Because I actually haven't changed any of the hints, but, like, I'm annoyed that you're 5-0. So, last time he got two, because he got one in, like, two, yeah, he got one in like a minute and a half, and not to pull back the curtain, but like that doesn't really work. So we made him do a second one, and he also got it. But now we're going to put that 5-0 record to the test. For any of you who haven't listened to He Was a Blue Jay before, essentially I take a niche Blue Jay, someone that you may remember but may not remember was a Jay because he only played there for a short time, and he's probably better known somewhere else. I'm going to describe this guy's career in five hints. It's loose, Matt. It's about 30 seconds, about three guesses after each hint. But, you know, he's probably going to pass on the first couple because it's not that easy unless it's Phil Negro, apparently. So that's essentially how it works. And Bones, if you're ready, we can get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. Here is your first hint for He Was a Blue Jay. I actually haven't picked it. All right, let's go. Number one. And I'm just going to say this one because it's if you've listened to our other ones, it's fairly obvious at this point where there's a little bit of a theme. Surprise, surprise, this guy was a Yankee in addition to being a Blue Jay.
All right, let it roll it. What's the next one?
All right, hint number two. This first baseman started his career in Toronto, but you probably won't know him best for his time there or his time with the New York Yankees.
All right, I'm just going to throw out a couple of guesses that are I think are obviously wrong. Lyle Overbay.
Not Lyle Overbay, but I'm glad you're throwing out guesses because you're now not Adam Lind, because now at least you know to use your guesses early.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's something I've definitely been learning.
You got one more on this hint.
Played for the Jays and the Yankees.
Do you want so the hints are, yeah, that's basically the hints actually, but you won't know him best for his time with either of them.
Okay. Travis Shaw? No, it's not Travis Shaw. All right, go ahead.
Travis Shaw was not a Yankee. All right, we move to number three. He spent most of his time playing for a team that's currently in the AL Central.
So an Astro. That was, so a Yankee Astro. Oh. No way. Lance Berkman?
Currently in the AL Central, not Lance Berkman.
Oh, it's currently in the AL Central. Okay, I got that mixed up. So it's not an Astro. So it used to be somewhere else. I don't know, your wording here is weird, Shulman. Can I get a clarifying era? Like, is it, how old is this guy? Like, is this like the 1980s? Like, what are we talking here?
Let me pull it up. I don't want to misquote you. Yeah, but one of the decades he played in was the 80s. There's your,
oh Lord.
There's your bonus hint. One of the decades he played in was the 80s.
That's going to make this like way harder.
So just for everyone listening while he's thinking, this guy was a Yankee. He started his career in Toronto, but you probably wouldn't know him best either for his time there or with New York. And he spent most of his career playing for a team, even you could say playing for two teams, but really just one is the prominent one, that's currently an AL Central team. I will let you know the AL Central did not exist in this time period. it was just in the East and West.
So did... Oh,
I can tell you he was in the East at that point in time.
But do this I is definitely not a team that... know who this is?
You do. Do you want the fourth hint? It might help.
Yeah, go ahead. Next hint.
He's the father of a player who was pretty prominent in our lifetime.
Huh. Okay. The father.
So he's a first baseman.
Cecil Fielder.
Correct. Cecil Fielder is the correct answer. Good job. The fifth hint was his kid actually played for the same team he's most famous for starring with, which would be the Detroit Tigers.
Or the Tigers.
No, Tigers. But there you go. It's okay. Prince had a weird stint with the Tigers. No one really remembers it.
I remember because Miggy had to move to third.
Yeah, he was a brutal third baseman. They did actually make the World Series, but they got absolutely diced up by San Francisco pitching. But that's not important because Prince Fielder wasn't Blue Jay. Cecil Fielder was. And now, give me the catchphrase.
He was a Blue Jay?
Yeah, he was. From 1985 to 1988, Cecil Fielder was a Blue Jay. He then did not play in 89, I believe, due to injury. Came back in 90 with Detroit. Three All-Star appearances in 4 years. Led the league in home runs twice with 51 and 44. So pretty tough for the Jays. Not to mention, he was on the 96 and 97 Yankees. So he is a World Series winner with the New York Yankees.
Yeah, but he is. Fun fact,
Cecil Fielder.
I got a fun fact about the Fielders.
Okay.
Prince and Cecil finished their careers with the exact same number of home runs.
Really?
Yeah.
319? Let me. Can I fact check you?
Go fact check.
I won't tell the people. I'll just be silent.
Cut this out if it's not true.
Yeah, you don't even know. You're right. you're correct. And Cecil actually led the league in homers more times than Prince.
Yeah. Who would have thought? If Prince didn't have to retire due to injury, he could add more.
Yeah, and like, I mean, 1 year he hits 46 bombs but doesn't lead the league in homers. It's just like, you know, the Hebrew Hammer, Ryan Braun's on your team and you got to, you know, defer a little bit. But that's it for He Was a Blue Jay. You're 6-0, and I guess I'm going to have to continue to increase the difficulty. Like at some point, I was going to be meaner, but I thought Cecil Fielder was a good one. The next one's going to be mean. Like it's not going to be that good of a player. but we will see. That was He Was a Blue Jay. Matt Bonaparte, 6-0. Thanks so much for playing once again on the world's most famous game show. We're going to step aside, but when we come back, there's another series preview next on Locked On Blue Jays.
Are you in search of a high-quality, good-tasting protein bar? Well, Built Bars may just be for you. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a kind of like a Cliff Bar. I mean, get in the game, Cliff Bar. You got to get the calories down. You got to get the sugar down. Then you're going to get right to where Built Bars are at. Go to Built.com. Get all your favorite flavors. Banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, and so many more. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at Built.com, and check out our offer. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Matt Bonaparte and Ben Shulman back with you on Locked On Blue Jays. Time to give you a new segment that Ben and I have recently thought of where we're going to just give you a good catching up on the opposing team of the next series. It happened after every single series. So after this series with the Astros, the Blue Jays are going to play the Yankees, host the Yankees for the first time this season. So let's catch up with the Bronx Bombers. What have they done since they last played the Blue Jays? Well, they're 12-3. This is a team that has kind of hit some kind of lightning, and they're just off to the races. The Yankees capped off a 9-game winning streak with a win over the Royals today. We're recording on Sunday, so for you, yesterday. And there have been a couple of superstar kind of performances for the Bronx Bombers. How about Anthony Rizzo? Guy's got 5 homers, 11 RBIs, and a .346 average in his last 7 games. I mean, the dude is absolutely nuts. And then how about the relief pitching? I mean, pitching in general, if you look at this team, they have one of the best pitching performances in all of the league. Second in ERA, they're top 10 in opposing batting average, top 10 in runs allowed, top 10 in pretty much every major category. They are absolutely ridiculous, Ben, and this is a team that you can't really take lightly. And then you have a guy like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa who's stepping up in this batting order. He's hitting .371 in his past 11 games. That's pretty freaking ridiculous, Ben.
No, it's good, especially considering, you know, he's the long-term shortstop. Kidding. But, yeah, the Yankees, since the Jays split that series with them in the Bronx, have definitely been playing well. I think, you know, the resurgence of their offense, because it really got off to a slow start to start the year, has been a big part of it. You go back to the Cleveland series, they win the last game with a 10-run performance. They score 12 on Baltimore the next day. They score 10 to finish the Baltimore series at home. Then they go on the road to KC, lead that series off with a 12 spot. The offense is exploding. I will say, and I'm not going to slouch on any Major League Baseball team that's won 12 of 15 games, because it's hard to beat everyone. But while the Jays have essentially been alternating between the Red Sox and the Astros for 2 weeks, after they played the Jays, New York has played Baltimore, Detroit, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Kansas City. And I'm on pretty good authority that none of those teams will make the playoffs, maybe Detroit. But these are not exactly the cream of the crop. Yeah, and Detroit's not playing well. So I think they are a scary team for sure. They are a scary offense for sure. And Cleveland, regardless of how good I think they are as a team, has nasty pitching. And it would be wrong of me to deny that. That's like kind of an objective fact. But they have been beating up on some of the bottom feeders. So I'm interested to see what kind of stuff carries over when they're once again stacked up against a perennial, or not perennial, but a consistent contender now over the last, you know, 2 years in the American League in the Blue Jays, who can really, you know, hang with them in terms of lineup depth and it seems like pitching depth as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is one thing is for sure. I think that we're going to get a really good series between the Jays and the Yanks. I just don't really see a situation in which one team really blows out the other, or there's just a couple of snooze fests. I think there's going to be two offenses that are just going at each other for the entirety of this series, and also two pitching staffs that are incredibly talented. I mean, we're going to get a Manoa game for the Blue Jays here. That'll be fun, and I think I don't know if we'll see Cole for the Yanks. I don't think
we. Don't believe Cole is lined up, but then again, you know, to the benefit of the Yankees, Chicken Strips and Kikuchi, I believe, are scheduled to pitch in this series, which isn't exactly how the Jays probably would have picked to line it up if they could.
Also, maybe the benefit of the Yankees is that Joey Gallo just got put on the injured list, so maybe that they won't have to struggle through those brutal at-bats and strikeouts. But, I mean, the good part about that for the Jays is that the only real backup there is Tim LeCastro, or maybe Miguel Andujar just got brought up, or Aaron Hicks. So, underratedly, the Yankees don't have the greatest outfield depth, regardless of how many bodies are actually out there. Not all of them are sensational. So, I think we might see the Jays take advantage of that. Maybe the pitching can kind of step up and continue to step up and give them the kind of series they need to put the Yankees in their place. Because at the end of the day, it might be early in the season, sure, these are still the two best teams in baseball record-wise, so it should be fun. And
in the American League, you mean, right?
Yes, in the American League. I think that a lot of the league's eyes are going to be on this series at least, so it should be a lot of fun regardless.
Yeah, it was a low-scoring series last time. Then again, both of these offenses, the Yankees more so than the Jays, but both of them are starting to get a little bit more pep in their step. Obviously, it's a deep Yankees team, and another new kind of segment that we're introducing now. It'll be co-opted for when it's during the week, but before a series, we're going to do our Sunday scaries. And essentially what that is who are you staying awake at night thinking about that could potentially hurt you in this series starting Monday? The guy who's not making you feel very good as you put your head to the pillow at night on Sunday.
So I've rifled through a couple of options here. The obvious one is Aaron Judge. I mean, the guy is kind of starting to hit his stride this season. Two homers in the final game against the Royals that basically gave the Yankees the 6-4 win. And, you know, he's just a mammoth of a human being, and he just goes out and hits tanks and goes home and goes to sleep. That's his whole thing. But I've instead decided to go an entirely different way that it's going to catch probably everybody by surprise. I'm going to go Michael King here, and if you don't know that name, it's probably justified. This is a relief pitcher who's only in his fourth season in the majors. Last year, maybe you saw him a couple times. He had 22 appearances and 63 innings, so maybe Jays fans got a glimpse of him. But really, this season, he's coming into his own and getting a real role within that bullpen, because his stuff is insane. I mean, He's got that two-seamer alongside a kind of slurve-like pitch, and his off-speed stuff is just absolutely ridiculous. The reason I'm saying this and the reason I'm picking Michael King is because the Yankees' back-end relief, to me, has been a little bit underwhelming. I mean, you had Aroldis Chapman walking in a run to lose a game against the Orioles not too long ago. This is a guy that could probably be given a shot when Chapman's not up to it or when he needs to be taken out of the game. Loaisiga was kind of that guy for the Yankees last year, but I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of Michael King. And late in a ball game, he could really hurt you if you need a run.
That's definitely a valid one, and frankly, late game stuff is kind of what's been deciding every close Blue Jays game. I'm going to go with my scary for kind of the obvious one. Not Aaron Judge, but my Sunday scary is Anthony Rizzo. This dude has been going absolutely nuts recently. You had already mentioned a bunch of the stats. The one I'll focus on, he's leading all major leaguers with 9 home runs, and that's kind of not like his MO. Like, he's a good power hitter, but he's not really someone that's ever threatened to be that dude. His career high is 32 homers, which, again, respectable, good, but not like ever that close to the major league lead. It's early, and this guy's slugging the absolute blank out of the ball. So I'm going to go with Anthony Rizzo because, you know, a lot of homers get hit in the Rogers Center, not as many as they do to those short porches you got over in New York. But,
I was about to say, that's what Yankee Stadium does to you.
Yeah, but still, a lot of homers in the Rogers Center, and I am pretty worried that Rizzo could knock one of them. So he's going to be my Sunday scary.
All right, that is it for Ben Shulman and Matt Bonaparte. Thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Tuesday, we will be back to recap the first game of the series. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB, with Paul Francis Sullivan. And please, for the love of the Lord, call him Sully. He brings you
call him Sully.
Perspective on the major leagues past as well as present. It's free, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.